Good morning, everyone. 9:17, the Mary Griffith Show underway, brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee, a premier coffee that is roasted and delivered in small batches. The beans are always hand-roasted. This is never one of those big, you know, put it in a gigantic thing and make it happen. No, no, it's good stuff. Delivered fresh to you to assure a rich and sophisticated, delicious coffee experience. I don't know if mine's sophisticated, but it's a delicious coffee experience. We have it every morning here at the Radio Ranch. I have been putting Grinch Creamer in mine, which is made with a double-decker sauerkraut and sardine sandwich with arsenic sauce, which is how I love my Christmases. The mayor of Quincy, Mike Trope, sits across from me. Mike has some work to do with name recognition at the second grade level. During our civics class yesterday, nobody knew who the mayor of Quincy was. Now, this is a good thing or a bad thing. The bad thing is they don't know who you are. They're only in second grade. They can't vote. The good thing is their parents have never cussed you out by name at the dinner table. So I guess you could look at it as a win, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay, well, get around to the second graders and let them know who you are, okay?
Very good.
Okay, in all your spare time. Well, today I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, but I want to talk about some big picture items, and one of those is the continuing conversation about what's going to happen in Quincy's riverfront. And one concern I have, I'll be honest with you, right now the land down there, most of it is owned by the Park District. And they have very eloquently and succinctly and bravely said, look, we want development too, but we have to be able to pay for it. You know, you can build something down there with a grant, but who's going to maintain it? It's our land. We'll get stuck with the bill. We have to be able to fork that bill. And then somebody said, well, why don't you give it to this Riverfront Development Corporation and let them run it? And my concern with that, Mr. Mayor, and I think you're part of that corporation or appointed members to it, those people aren't elected by me. The Park District Board is. I'm a little bit concerned about the most valuable real estate in Quincy being transferred, even for a good reason, to an entity that I can't go down to the city hall or to the county board, or to the park district office, and let my thoughts be known if I don't like what they're doing. So can you comment on that?
Well, I agree with you, Mary.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Drop the mic. My career's over.
I probably just jinxed you. It's, you know, all along, the three public entities, the county board, the park district, and the city of Quincy have been working together to develop a plan for the riverfront. And I've said all along from when I campaigned, as well as, you know, as I've been mayor here in the city of Quincy, we can't expect the government groups to fully fund that development. It's got to be a combination of private money as well as some of the public funds. And the public is the only one that's really come up for any of the studies and the expenses that are going on. The priority of the projects, the Park District made a passing comment at one point that we should donate the land. I don't think they can do it for legal reasons to the Riverfront Corporation. They could donate it to one of the other public entities. I've reached out. Look, if they're serious about that, we'd be happy to talk to them. I don't know that that was anything more than a passing comment.
Yeah, I don't know that they were serious about that. I don't think the Park District is looking to get rid of any of the land it owns. I think it likes what it's done with the land. It's obviously... You know, the city riverfront is more what I would call minimal use. I mean, there's a lovely fountain down there, and there's some places to ride your bike and roller skate and walk. But, I mean, as far as, you know, there's no amphitheater down there. There's no big theme park down there. There's no museum down there. There's no big attraction down there. But, again, those things cost so much money. I mean, I was shocked to learn today, and I've been a member of the Y for years, that the YMCA pool was closing. You know, they don't have $3.5 million to fix it. They don't have money to dig another hole and build a new one. I think we're seeing that the Park District, you know, it's like everybody wants a pool. Everybody wants a splash pad. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. Heck, they can barely keep the walking trails maintained, you know, and those are very low maintenance. So I do sympathize. I sympathize. That's me stupidly leaving my phone in here and somebody not knowing what I do for a living calling me. So we'll let that go. I really feel bad for the Park District. They get painted with this black eye like they don't want to do anything, but they don't have any money to do anything.
Yeah, no, it's I agree. And I think, to me, the riverfront needs some type of activity that will serve as a magnet to attract people down to the riverfront to use whatever is established. And I think at last, I wasn't able to be. I had another meeting that I had to go on some risk mitigation for this region, so I wasn't able to participate in last night's riverfront meeting. But based on what I have heard from those that were attending, you know, the burial of power lines, I don't think is getting the financial support needed. I've talked to several of the aldermen. I know they aren't excited or willing. I haven't found any that would be willing to ante up additional dollars to take that project
on. Well, part of the problem is some people have said, well, you're going to bury the power lines before you build anything down there.
Yep.
Then you're going to have to go and build something down there. You probably could have buried the power lines when you built something. It's a little cart before the horse.
The bigger issue down there, I think, is who owns what land, because the railroad owns quite a bit of land beyond their tracks, west of their tracks, even where that part, the road that goes through and that parking lot, that's not on Park District property. That's actually on the railroad right-of-way. So there are things like that that need to be clarified before any construction can truly, happen.
Well, the bottom line is it seems to me that the city and the county are in favor of something down there that could generate revenue that would bring people to town. That's the other problem. The Park District has done such a phenomenal job of providing free things that we're providing free things for people that don't pay our taxes. I mean, you can come and play pickleball on any court in Quincy and not pay for it. I'm paying for it. I don't play pickleball, but I'm paying for the pickleball court because I'm paying my property tax. But people that come here from Camp Point, other places to play pickleball, I'm glad they're here. Maybe they'll buy a soda and put it some revenue in our sales tax revenue. But the bottom line is you can walk on the trails. You can, there's an admission to play golf, but it's not that much. You can swim in the pool. I mean, you can do all these things without being a taxpayer of the Quincy Park District. They are almost too good.
Well,
they really have. They've made everything so accessible and so free,
right,
that there's no way to get any money out of this.
No, they're
stuff.
Doing a good job.
Yeah.
I think the Quincy Park board, the board and the staff are doing a great job taking care of a tremendous asset that we have. And recently, with their willingness to take on the Paul Dennis Soccer Complex, that's another significant investment to bring that facility up to par. And it all takes plans and it takes money. And so they're working through those issues, which long term I think is going to be a phenomenal benefit to all of us living in this area.
That will bring revenue in because those people will come from out of town and stay in our hotels. So what did happen? You weren't there last night, but I mean, what are we doing moving forward? Because we seem to be at a stalemate on riverfront development.
I think a couple things that are teeing up. We have a grant from Senator Jill Tracy, an Illinois state grant, and if that's not used, sometime in relatively early 2024, then it goes away. And we have checked out a month or so ago that we can, in fact, redeploy that to another riverfront project. We can't take it to do something that's not riverfront related. And that's where the amphitheater, we've got Laura Sievert with the arts group working on some grant funding to do the design work, et cetera. That may be some of the quickest dollars. The city has a part of our facility for the water treatment facility that's going to be freed up, and that is part of where the amphitheater could be or some other riverfront activity. And I think trying to focus on something like that, to have an amphitheater that could be used by various groups going forward, I think would be a benefit, general benefit to several different groups into our community. The other is, I think, a splash park. We have the fountains in Washington Park. That's nice, but I mean, they aren't talking about putting more fountains. They're talking about really a true splash park. Well, we've got a water treatment plant basically next door. So providing water that could provide that facility is something that the city's willing to take a look at. How can we work together with the park district or the riverfront to pull to make that happen? And that's something else that I think either of those projects or both will help attract people, not only visitors, but just as importantly as community residents, to use the riverfront. Okay? And the more people that are using the riverfront, I think you're going to see the private investors step up and make their investments in improving some of the facilities, buildings, bringing either maybe more restaurants or other retail stores to support those activities down there. I think it's going to have a spiraling effect.
Okay. So really what it boils down to is, you know, it's not just for recreational use. It's got to have an economic development purpose. To do that, really, you have to have some way to charge some kind of admission or recoup some fee for the splash park. You certainly could charge admission to a splash park, just like, you know, the soccer fields. You know, they don't necessarily pay a per at the gate entrance fee, but they pay in the hotel rooms
yep.
that are being used. So this is good. It seems to me, and trust me, as much as I want to grill politicians, I have a hard time, because right now the city of Quincy seems to be having enough money. Your property taxes aren't being raised. You're able to fully fund for now. We don't mean it's fully funded for the long term. We mean that the payment is fully what is needed this year for the pensions.
It's actually more.
Yeah. I mean,
we're funding over 100% of what's required.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that as a city. We've been doing that. It started before I actually was mayor, but my first 2 years, we were paying 106% of that. When I came into office, our police and fire unfunded pension liability was $100 million, and we're down about $10 million. Closer to $90 million
okay,
now. It's a step in the right way. $90 million is still almost twice what the city spends annually to do everything as the city. So it's still a very significant liability that needs continual attention.
Well, of course, not every police and firefighter is going to retire simultaneously, so we're lucky in that degree. There's always this little cliff we're afraid we're going to fall off on, though, because the state of Illinois has been kind of chucking out money from, you know, COVID relief. It's so interesting. I don't quite understand how this goes into COVID relief, but we'll take the money, I guess. You know, just kind of silly, some of the things that are happening. But we seem to be, you know, we seem to have a lot of money. And now the school district says, yeah, but in 2 years that'll all be gone. And maybe in 2 years the city's largesse will be gone. So, yeah, things are really looking rosy right now. All the taxing districts are saying we're going to be able to lower the rate. Now, that doesn't mean the levy's going to be lowered. If your house goes up in value, you're still going to pay more in property taxes, but the rate's going down. And I'm just wondering, how long can that continue? Because there has to be, do you see a cliff that the city of Quincy's coming closer to? We're fine now, but we better slow the gallop because we're going to go off the edge?
Well, we're trying to manage that by controlling what our expenses are, you know, what those increases are. We've been holding headcount pretty flat in the 3 years that I've been here, and we're able to shift people around to help improve areas of service that need it, that are really the most urgent. And so we're watching that. We've got, you know, our treasurer just recently, you know, presented to the council with her assistant in the Treasury Department how, for the first time, they've already earned over $1 million off of, you know, stronger measurement or cash management of city funds. And they think they're going to hit $2 million in this current fiscal year, which is extremely high and well beyond their budget. So they're doing an outstanding job. And that money can get, you know, put away into a, you know, a reserve or to put into other areas that can go. Our retail sales are continuing to be strong. We have the first results of the Target being open, this last, August, I think, when they opened up. And that did not have a negative impact on any of the bigger stores that have been here for a while. So it does show, confirm the numbers, that the Target retailer has actually attracted more people to come shop here that weren't previously. And, you know, municipalities like the city of Quincy, sales taxes are a big part of our revenue stream. We also are working with the federal government. We have a grant coming in, and we had a call discussing that just yesterday for a solar project. And this solar, we're going to put at the wastewater treatment plant and at the reservoir at 24th and Chestnut. That will help lower the cost of those electrical utilities for both operations. And we get to sell the excess power to Ameren, which will have a non-tax-based revenue source for the city. And so I think those are other things that will offset any future potential tax increase as those come into effect. And so we're trying to be prudent with the taxpayers' money, looking at areas that we can reduce the cost. You know, we need power to generate the sanitary sewer system. We need power to provide water, you know, filtration and services throughout the community. If we can lower the cost of power, that helps us all.
Everybody went crazy when we tried to have hydropower in the John Spring administration. Everybody's embracing solar power. What's the difference? Why is solar power?
I think the cost and the payback.
Initial cost and payback. Okay.
Yeah, I think those are the two big costs. And even though, you know, there's a lot of tax incentives, both at the federal and state level, for solar, a government entity like us doesn't have a direct benefit, but I believe we're going to be able to sell some of those tax credits to a for-profit business that could use that. So we're going to be able to create some of those tax credits, I think, into additional cash for the
community. Solar's really catching on. It seems like everybody's going there. Talking today with Mayor Mike Trope. When are you up for re-election? When is the next
2025.
You got a whole year and a half.
That's just it. You know, we've got a big election coming up, you know, in November of 24, and that's, I think, where the attention needs to be for all of those races. We've got some local races there but the city, the municipality races aren't until, I believe it's April of 25. So,
So when will we know if you're going to run again?
When will I announce that? It'll be, you know, sometime in 24. There's no urgency, and I don't want to get confused. Am I on the November ballot or am I at a later ballot? Let the people that have to campaign get out there, campaign, get their story out. And then when our election's up, we'll have it duly announced.
Okay. So you've got a little note there. I want to make sure you get everything said you want to say, Mr. Mayor.
Well, there's just two public meetings that I think would be worthwhile to make sure people are aware of. One is next December 7th. It's the IDOT, Illinois Department of Transportation, has a public meeting from 4 to 7 p.m. That will be held in Quincy at the Kroc Center. And that is one of the last public meeting discussions to talk about the bridge, the new bridge coming across the Mississippi. Right now, you know, that's planned to come from West Quincy, enter into York Street here in town. But the more, I think it would be really worthwhile to have community people attend that meeting. Talk to the design people, what's going on. It'd be very informative, and it'd be a good opportunity to put your opinion in.
Yeah, if you want it at York, get there and tell them that. If you don't want it at York, you better make that known because, I mean, these things, it's still maybe 10 years away, but once they start making these decisions, they're not going to go back and change them, usually.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be 10 years. I think it's definitely moved up because that bridge, both Missouri and Illinois are absolutely aware of it. Funds for that were also included in the governor's announcement of his $41 billion that he made just a couple months ago. And so those should be well within the 10 years. It's not going to be next year, but yeah. It's you know, probably 3 to 4 years out.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Mayor Trope, that's good to hear.
The other thing that I wanted to share is on December 12th, Great River Economic Development Foundation has their annual meeting at the Oakley Lindsay Center. Again, that's in the evening. I think the doors may open up about 4:30. I don't believe the presentations will start.
I think they start about 5:30.
Mm-hmm. But it's a good, no cost to come. But if you're in the area, live here or live in anywhere in the tri-state area, I'd like to hear what's going on with the Greta. Not only will there be a presentation from Kyle Moore and his group, but I know County Board Chair Kent Snyder's asked to give an update, as well as I'll have a brief update there at that meeting as well.
I want to reiterate one thing that has been announced. Broadway is going to be resurfaced. Obviously, it's going to take several years to get it all done because they're going to have to do it in bits and pieces. But the city of Quincy, one thing you've got to get done is you don't want to put good pavement down and then come back and tear it up to put new water lines and sewer lines and things in. And that's down here, especially closer to the river, is an older part of town. So are we going to be ready? Is the city of Quincy have enough money, and are they going to be ready that all this can be done when IDOT's ready?
Yeah, we're working with IDOT to pull that plan together. The first focus will be 12th Street to 36th Street on Broadway when they're going to do their resurfacing. And we have not that entire area, but there's some major sections in that initial phase that we do need to move the water pipes. Right now, a lot of those water pipes, you know, they were put in in the late 1800s. Well, Broadway back in the late 1800s was basically the center turn lane of that street. So a lot of the water pipes are that far out. We're going to move them under the sidewalk on either the north or the south side.
Smart move.
And so, we do need to make that change. We're trying to coordinate that so we don't have to put the new asphalt after we dig it up there, then the state comes through, tears it up, and puts more asphalt down. We're trying to coordinate all of that activity, but that itself's a complication. But
I was going to say, can two government entities actually work together for good? Is this something possible?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause?
No, I appreciate your time.
Hey, I always love it when you come on. I think it's really critically important that people understand how their city government works. And what is really ironic about that is while we have the mayor on every month, really, and he'll be the first to tell you, he doesn't really run the city. He's the figurehead and he's the administrator. But the city council passes all the laws. The city council debates all the policies. And how are things with the city council? There's been some, back and forth, even your own party. There's been some resistance, some disagreements, shall we say. Are things improving? Is it status quo? Once somebody says, I don't like you, is that the end of it?
I can't say I'm getting used to the criticism. But we had recently an alderman questioning my involvement with some of the health insurance. It's an open book. You want to do an investigation, that's fine. I've got nothing to hide. Okay.
And it was found that there was nothing to hide. There was
absolutely
nothing.
Okay. So that's where, that's who I am. I don't need to hide anything. I'm an open book when it comes to that kind of stuff. I didn't get the apology from the alderman, but I think it was proven that the mayor did nothing incorrect there.
Okay. So, well, you're in politics now, Mike Trope. So don't expect apologies.
Yeah, well, I'm the worst politician to ever serve, as mayor of Quincy, and I hope it stays that way.
That's your goal, is to still be a bad politician, but be an effective mayor. Okay, we'll take it. We'll take it if we can get it. Mike Trope, thank you so, so very much. It is 9:42. We're going to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Then Don O'Brien's here to tell us not to get scammed around Christmas time. Stay tuned. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Don O'Brien joins me with the Better Business Bureau. Boy, you couldn't have come at a better time. I mean, porch piracy, is up. People are getting scam text messages. People are all kinds of scams for Christmas giving.
It just brings out the best in people, doesn't it, the holidays?
Well, this is what is so excruciatingly sad.
Yes.
Is that, you know, while we're all, the average normal person is in a spirit of giving and all this greatness is flowing through our veins, even the Grinch, myself,
mm-hmm.
and my heart's growing maybe not three sizes, but, you know, maybe one and a half size. Then something comes along and just they take advantage of you. And this can happen so quickly. And it's so frustrating because, like, the other day I got a text and my husband got the same text. And I said, is this fake or is this real? And he goes, I think it's fake. So he takes care of all this stuff anyway. Well, it turned out it was kind of real, but, it was just kind of one of those weirdo things. So you just don't trust anybody anymore. And Don O'Brien, how can we go through our lives if we can't trust anybody?
It's difficult. You have to figure out what's real and what's Memorex.
This is really Don O'Brien. He's not an artificial intelligence robot sitting here. And I guess that's one of the first things is when you buy online, be very wary. Because if you're in an open Wi-Fi thing, you're sitting at the public library at the local fast food restaurant, and you're using their Wi-Fi.
And you log on to your account, then anybody that's kind of monitoring that can get it. Yeah. So, at this time of year, you really need to be safe. If you're going to buy things online, and I think that many of us have, are you an online purchaser, Mary, or not? You're not an online buyer.
No, I myself personally have never bought anything online. Steve has bought Cardinal tickets for me online back in the old days. I just don't know how to do much of it, and I don't want to do much of it.
That's good.
And I feel like if I can't buy it locally, that's the problem, and that's what really makes me mad. You used to be able to get a ticket, mm-hmm. Now I have to show you my phone and all this other. I'm getting used to it mm-hmm. because you need it to function in society. I understand. Mm-hmm. I cannot go the rest of my life and eschew all technology. But no, I pretty much am a local buy kind of gal, and I'm pretty much a pay cash kind of gal.
Yeah.
So I am not as susceptible to these kind of fraudulent scams as some people might be. But they're, all of our brethren need to be very aware of this because it's probably the inexperienced people like me that are more likely to make a mistake because I don't understand even what I'm doing.
Yeah, so you're going to go online and, the general you, a lot of us are going to go online and we're going to try to find good prices for things. And unfortunately, there are traps out there. There are traps that are set primarily on social media. I don't believe that you're a Facebook person, correct?
No.
You are my hero, by the way. The fact that you're not on Facebook, that you don't do any of these... you don't buy things online. You are and I say this in the good way, you are a dinosaur, and this is a good, that is a good thing to be, or maybe a unicorn. You are my unicorn, Mary.
Thank you. The other day, the kids in second grade were asking me if there were cars invented, because I told them we didn't have Chromebooks, because they mm-hmm. always want me to help them log on. I'm like, don't talk to me about that.
Yes.
I go, we didn't, that wasn't even something that we had when I was a kid. And I said, I rode a Stegosaurus dinosaur to school. They believed it. They absolutely believed it. And then one kid goes, not a dinosaur. I bet it was a horse. I'm like, another girl asked me how old I was. I said, 108. She believed it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I
hadn't used my eye cream that day.
I see.
So that's why I looked 108. Usually I can get by with 107. But you're right. I have no interest in this. However, to say that this doesn't exist in my life, there are people who will do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
For example, at WTAD, I don't have a Facebook page, but we have a Facebook page.
Yes.
And so stuff is on there.
Sure.
I don't do any of that.
You don't do any of that.
But it's there. And my husband is capable. If he'd order some stuff mm-hmm. over the internet because mm-hmm. woodworking,
Sure.
But I don't understand. I've never kind of understood if you can buy it here locally. Why would you buy it online from somewhere else?
And if you do, at this time of year, if you go into a brick-and-mortar store, if you put your hands on it, you get to inspect it. You get to see whether it looks good or not or whether it is legitimate or not. That way you save the chances of you being scammed by doing that are way down. Usually you're buying legitimate the real deal, the genuine artifact. But it's when people go online, and there's all these traps that are set on social media. People go to Facebook, and the scammers are going to put up, they're going to buy ad space on Facebook to try to get you to go, instead of to a trusted seller, they're going to get you to do some new website that's just popped up in the last couple months.
And whatever you've been talking about on Facebook, they know because they're listening and watching
yes.
all the time. And so if you, like, it's ironic, but here, I do use the computer here at work. How many ads for purses and shoes come up, do you think? A lot.
Depends on what you like. For me, I have never had any of that.
But, I mean, you know, it's crazy.
But
I swear.
My wife is a mini Imelda Marcos. She probably has shoe. She's going to kill me if she hears that.
But I've never bought a shoe online.
Yes.
I will never buy a shoe anywhere but Carl's Shoes and buy a dance coat. But somehow they know that this is something that attracts me. And so the shoes, the purses, all this kind of stuff. Because, I could be that person, but I'm not.
So you really got to be careful. We really encourage folks when they're going online shopping, whether it's, you know, this time of year or in the middle of August or May or whenever it is, try to find retailers and purchase things through the use of a credit card, because if that vendor doesn't deliver the item, or if it's not as if it's purported and you can't do a exchange for it, if they don't want to give you your money back, you can do a chargeback on that credit card. It's right now, we have so many different ways you can pay people. You can pay people electronically through many peer-to-peer payment methods. I know that's blowing your mind because you've never used one of those. If you've barely used Facebook, you're not using one of these. Probably a lot of your audience, if you've never used any type of Venmo or Zelle or Apple Pay, you don't need to worry about that. But that's an easy way to pay people. And when you use one of those, it's like me giving you a $5 bill. I pay you, and I hope that you deliver your service or you're good to me. If you don't, well, I'm out of luck because there's no way for me to get that money back with you unless I sue you or something, and I'm not going to sue you over $5. And really, you're probably not going to sue somebody over $5,000, because once you've given them that money, in order to sue someone, you're throwing good money after bad. So it's really easy for those scammers to operate. So you really have to look into the folks. Obviously, the Better Business Bureau, BBB.org, we have millions of business profiles. So if you find a vendor online that you're not familiar with, simply go on to whatever your favorite search engine is, put the name of the business in there, and then space BBB after it, and then boom, that business profile is going to pop up. And you can see, you can see their grade, if they're an A+, if they're accredited with us, they'll have their accreditation logo on there. It'll be easy to see whether or not they're BBB accredited. So, there's certainly some things that can keep you safe at this time of year, but you just can't go all willy-nilly and just decide to buy things just because you think, oh, that's a great price. That's $50 less than the pair of shoes I saw on this website. Well, guess what? That $50 less shoe is probably not legitimate.
Well, the other thing is patio furniture. I was listening to one of our sister stations, and one of their morning show people bought this patio furniture online, and it was dollhouse size when it got there, And so I think about that, quite a bit, and just how you can get scammed. And the other thing is, everything sounds like a legitimate cancer charity. But, again, Blessing Hospital and Hannibal Regional Hospital both have foundations. They both help people locally right here. Just give the money to them.
Correct. And
you know them. You see them in the grocery store. They're okay. They're spending the money wisely. The United Way is spending the money wisely. The Arts Quincy, which is BBB Torch Ethics Extraordinaire.
Two-time
Torch winner. They're spending the money wisely.
Yes.
If you're sitting around going, I just can't decide whether to save the snail or save the whale, they're both legitimate, but, give to something local.
We see a lot of, we hear from reports about a lot of bad, not legitimate cancer charities. Also, if you have somebody calls and says they're with your local fire or police department, that more than likely is going to be a scam as well. If you get a call from someone saying that they're collecting for the local police, Before A, ask for them to send you something, and then B, follow that up with a call to either the non-emergency number at QPD or the non-emergency number for the Adams County Sheriff, or if you're Marion County or wherever you're at.
Those are always.
Those are all. You know, those are 9 times out of 10. Those are going to be scams as well. So they're out there and they've got their hand out. And you mentioned porch pirates earlier, and something I want to touch on because we got some reports in Quincy this week of folks who get text messages about shipping problems. You know, your item has been. There's going to be a delay in shipping, and you need to press this link in order to get the latest information. Well, don't press any link in a text message or email that you get. That could just lead you down to a rabbit hole that you don't want to go into. You know, if there's something actually wrong with your package, you know, reach out to maybe the vendor who from which you bought it from, even, you know, FedEx or USPS or who did I miss? FedEx, USPS, UPS, whatever the sending
company. Amazon is
yes.
Now the single largest package deliverer in the United States.
Yeah. So
amazing.
And it's so I know you don't do this, but when you go online, you buy something, you can opt into text messages. Say, track my package via text. So it'll send you things saying, hey, your package is out for delivery.
So that I know that it's on my front porch. So I either send my neighbor over to get it or I get home because I don't want my porch pirate to get
it. Yes, and porch pirating, that's something we don't hear as much about lately because I think we've all
finally.
Ring doorbells are one thing, although these folks don't care about ring doorbells. They're still going to go do that. But I think a lot of people there's a sense of community, and if you have somebody, there's a lot more people that work from home now than there were 2 or 3 years ago thanks to this pandemic. And, you know, find someone that you can trust and you can say, hey, if I get a package delivered, can you go walk it and grab it and bring it into your house and I'll come get it to you later. So
I found a package on my front porch the other day. It may have been out there for 2 months. We never use our front door.
Well, you must not have any porch pirates in your neighborhood either, so that's good.
Yeah, we're a very safe neighborhood, apparently, because I don't know when this thing was sent.
It was
you know?
From July 3rd.
Yeah, it was probably, yeah. Well, here's our 4th of July decorations that you ordered, so okay. I have one real quick question, then we got to go.
Yes.
What is your opinion of the new TV show Snake Oil? Have you seen it?
You know what? Okay.
Because you've got, it's like, you got to get paid for watching that as BBB.
I would think so. And I saw it once. I saw it once, and it was very interesting. You have to figure out what's real and what's not. And,
A real product.
Yes, it's yes. There's
and
people trying.
Some of them are really ridiculous, but they're real.
But they're real products. Yes, and I can't remember what I watched it one night, and it was the things that I thought were ridiculous were real, and
the things you thought were okay were fake.
Yeah. But you have to use your critical thinking skills, and that one. And I don't know if does every episode do they have like a person with a celebrity?
Yeah,
and the celebrity tries to help them figure things out.
The celebrity's supposed to have some business acumen.
Yes,
but they often are just as easily confused as everybody else. And they have these actors portraying these business owners, mm-hmm. and they're really rehearsed and well.
Yes.
And, you know, so they really believe that this is the Mary Griffith pen.
Yes.
And it will do whatever, you know, it will ride upside down and everything. And I'm telling you all about it, and you can invest in my company.
But it's the thing that I like about that show is that those who watch it, it makes you think critically. And you're like, okay, if I really saw that, hopefully it's translating over for when people are actually online or when they're in obviously in a store they see it for real, but you don't know if it's going to work properly. But, you know, hopefully they're carrying over that critical eye for when they do go online and shop.
Well, we would hope so. And just because something is ridiculous, it could still be real, but would you buy it? One lady came on the other night. She only sold 8. She'd only sold 8 of her items, and she had 4 on the table. So, I mean, they said, I don't, you know, this may not be true. But I can't remember if it was real or snake oil because I go back and forth. But it's an interesting show, and it just goes to show that very, very, very smart people. So don't think that just because you're smart, this can never happen to you. Very, very, very smart people fall for, and that's what it is. It's a scam.
Yep.
This guy's telling you, you know, buy this, invest in this. You know, you've got $50,000 in your hand. If you give me 20 and it's not real, you lose, you know. So it's just great.
When I see you next month, we'll talk more about investment scams. I've got a couple that have popped up. I talked to a young woman recently who got snagged in an investment scam.
Yeah, I'm all in on Enron. Is that bad?
Yes.
Okay.